Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour three. We're live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Joy and I have great conversations off the air, sometimes about America that drives us nuts. But we were just talking about the smartest, wealthiest people in Los Angeles are buying the vaccine now that people won't take it. It's available. They put it back in the system. The smartest, most successful, wealthiest, brightest people in L.A. are now buying the vaccine. There are literally healthcare workers in America that won't take it.
Yeah, there's a story, I think it's in the LA Times today, that healthcare workers are not.
What do you do? Rupert Murdoch took it in the UK 10 days ago. He's pretty well connected. I know you have some Illuminati connections on Twitter, but the smartest people are taking it.
I don't know. I give up with talking to people about the vaccine. I talk to people about it every day. It's exhausting my soul. I'm like, okay, you're not going to take it. What is the plan? What's the plan? You don't want to wear masks. You don't want to take a vaccine. You want everything to be open and everything to go back to normal.
The smartest, most successful, wealthiest people in the world,
not just in America. This is a global pandemic. It's not just America. It is not just in the United States of America.
They're buying it.
All over the world, people have to take this vaccine. It's not a conspiracy against you.
Rupert Murdoch took it in the UK. Pretty smart. Pretty connected. To like global leaders.
Yes. All the global leaders are taking it.
But Bob, he's got this connection on Twitter
Frank and Jody think it's not a good idea.
On Reddit.
So you saw it on a meme.
On Reddit.
With no
message board.
I just can't. Do what you want.
Listen, if the thing was on my desk, I'd take it right now in front of you.
I would put it in my forehead.
Right on the air. I just go, and I'd take it. I'd be all fine.
Immediately.
2 seconds. I haven't even pursued it yet. I'm going to go out after the show today and start pursuing
it. You're going to look into it? Well, I mean, I don't know.
Bucky Brooks in 15 minutes. That's the voice of Joy Taylor on radio. You know, best for last. This is the last day of 2020. What were the best performances of 2020? The best athletes, individual athletes for 2020. We'll talk about that. But Tom Brady once again finds himself in the postseason. Not a big shock. Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians talked about the team's upcoming playoff push.
The Super Bowl or bust. That's the goal every year. Mm-hmm. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. You know, so getting into the playoffs was huge for us, and it's been a fun year. There's a lot of football left, and we're really excited to be playing.
I disagree. I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust. Let me take you back to Peyton Manning goes to the Denver Broncos. Now, like Brady, he's kind of a free agent. He chose the best team. Denver was good. They'd made the playoffs the year before. Peyton Manning was just 36. He goes to a much more respectable franchise. Denver has always been very well run. Can't find the next Elway, but very run. He has very good stats. See if these sound familiar. 37 touchdowns, 11 picks, a 105 passer rating. Turned an 8-8 team respectable to 13-3. He lost in the playoffs. His first playoff game lost. And the feeling was, all right, it was a success. They did go into the playoffs with Tebow. But the sense was Peyton Manning was great in Denver. Tom Brady, like Peyton, chooses the best fit for him, Tampa. He's 7 years older. Now think about that. LeBron had his 36th birthday yesterday. Do you think I'm going to judge LeBron at 43, same as I am today at 36? 7 years for pro athletes, I don't know, seems significant. Tom delivers great stats. See if these sound familiar. 36 touchdowns, 11 picks, passer rating over 100. He turns around a losing, dysfunctional franchise, 7-9 to probably this weekend 11-5. And if he loses, he will be crushed. So Brady is much older, turns around a much more dysfunctional franchise. Peyton Manning and Denver went 13-3. The division, the rest of the division Peyton Manning faced that year, won 13 games total. Tom Brady goes to a division with a preseason Super Bowl favorite, New Orleans, Hall of Fame coach and quarterback, and Matt Ryan, by the way, is going to get Hall of Fame votes too. He's a former MVP. If Tom Brady loses in the first round of the playoffs, why isn't he successful? By the way, Did Peyton Manning face a pandemic? Peyton Manning got OTAs. Peyton Manning got a preseason. Peyton Manning played in a weaker AFC. Peyton Manning played in a weaker division. Peyton Manning, 7 years younger, it was seen as a success. Tom Brady's 43, worse franchise, harder division, harder conference, better quarterbacks in his division. And by the way, year two always feels easier. LeBron won a championship in year two in Miami, then year two in Cleveland, and year two in Los Angeles. Peyton Manning, year two, got to the Super Bowl. We all sort of understand year one, moving your entire family, offense, coach, system, teammates is tough. I mean, hell, Aaron Rodgers struggled last year, and he didn't have to move or play with new guys. He just got a new coach. Look at the leap Aaron's made. Year one, Matt LaFleur, year two. Just saying, if Tom loses, didn't he do exactly what we thought? Take a dysfunctional franchise and turn them into winners in the playoffs? Of course he's not going to win the division. Peyton Manning didn't have this Saints roster and Drew Brees and Sean Payton in that division. To me, it's not a Super Bowl or bust. Tom's done everything I've asked in year one. This is absolutely, I predicted, a wild card and a win. But if he loses, let's not go crazy. Peyton did, and we still saw it overwhelmingly as a success. It's interesting on the marketing. Peyton's one of us. Tom's supermodel, aspirational Uggs, expensive watches. He's out there. We're still trying to discredit Tom Brady. Brady's team that he left is now a train wreck, New England. Peyton's team that he left, the Colts, won 11 games. Just saying. So Troy Aikman must be a much better sleeper than I am. I am not a great sleeper. I am a 4 or 5 hours, and then it's just, staring at the ceiling. So Troy Aikman is talking about when Dak comes back, the Cowboys have to, you know, they're going to give Dak a new contract. Now, as you well know, if you've listened to this show, everybody in Dallas kept coming on the show and guaranteeing me Dak would get a long-term deal. And I kept saying, well, they're paying everybody else. Why won't they pay Dak? They didn't. They gave him a franchise tag. And so Troy Aikman says, don't worry about Dak. Don't worry about Dak. He's going to get his money. And if he does, I feel great. Here's Troy.
I wouldn't hesitate at all to pay him. I would sleep real good if I had Dak Prescott locked up with a big contract and not be worrying about his commitment to the team and commitment to winning.
Now, that's interesting. Commitment to the team and commitment to winning. Isn't that kind of the base of what I expect, the old Chris Rock joke? I love my kids. Yeah, that's the minimum as a parent. I think every top quarterback in the league, including Dak and Andy Dalton, even Baker Mayfield, who I'm critical of, I think they're committed to winning and committed to teammates. Some guys have egos. Some guys are goofy. Some guys aren't as responsible, Drew Lock. But I think they're all kind of committed base level to winning and their teammates. I think most quarterbacks are, they've grown up. They know the value of quarterbacking, the importance of it. But I'm just going to play a little what if. If Dallas beats the Giants Sunday, and it's going to be close. It's a 24-23 game. Giants are probably the better bet, but, Dallas, let's say they win. And Washington with a third-string quarterback loses. Dallas is in the playoffs. And Andy Dalton will have gone 5-2 since the bye. And as we talked about yesterday, it's not really fair to judge Andy Dalton. No preseason, inheriting a new coach and a new system and a new team, concussion, COVID. Let's start at the bye with Andy. In fact, let's start at the bye with the Cowboys. They're a different team. If he wins Sunday, he goes 5-2 in his last 7 games. And as I showed you yesterday, the numbers with Dak are virtually the same. And he will want $38 million. That's more than Aaron Rodgers. That's more than Russell Wilson. That's more than Tom Brady. It's almost more than anybody not named Patrick Mahomes. Does that seem like a good business decision? Let me ask you this. If you think Dak is a good quarterback, I do. Good. Not special, not great. Let's go to the last 5 good quarterbacks who got big contracts. Jimmy G, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford. I'll even throw in Carson Wentz. Are any of those teams happy with a contract? I'm going to go big fat N-O on that. None of them are. None of them are happy. And I'm not even going to throw the what ifs out. Oh, yes, I am. What if Andy Dalton beats the Eagles just did and the Giants down the stretch? And the offense looks good, certainly did against Philadelphia. And what if it does Sunday? When Dak last year couldn't generate a touchdown against an injury-ravaged Eagles team. If Dalton wins Sunday and they look decent offensively, he generates all sorts of touchdowns and beats both of his rivals. Dak couldn't beat one and generate a touchdown against a Philadelphia team that was thrown at lawn furniture. I'm just saying, heaven forbids Dalton wins a playoff game. I won't even go there. So again, it's not anti-Dak. But at the end of this weekend, and it'll be close, it'll come down to the last couple of minutes of the game. If Andy Dalton wins and goes 5-2 down the stretch and has the exact same numbers as Dak, and Dak's wanting $37, $38 million off an ugly injury, man, Troy's a better sleeper than I am, because I would struggle with it. Because I see the Jimmy G contract and the Wentz contract and the Stafford contract and the Goff contract and the Matt Ryan contract. And I don't think any of those teams like that contract today. We'll see. That's why football is great. It's why the Giants-Dallas is two losing records. They're not even close. These are right now 5-6 wins teams. That's one of the most intriguing NFL games of the weekend. It is fascinating. Word is if the Giants don't win, they may clean house in their front office with Gettleman. I read a story about that this morning. So there's a lot on the line. It's not that I'm rooting for Andy Dalton. But, folks, if he goes 5-2 and gets to the playoffs, I'm just saying, and beats both the Eagles and the Giants down the stretch, Dak couldn't even generate a touchdown against Philadelphia. Want 38. They may franchise again. That's a lot of lettuce. That is a lot of lettuce.
Bucky Brooks played, scouted in the NFL. He likes Dak. We'll talk that more. Big weekend in the NFL. Some guys playing, some guys Mahomes not. Would you sit out Patrick Mahomes, who has struggled a little in December? I wouldn't. I'd play him in Week 17. Thoughts on that with Bucky next. Go the extra mile in your upfitted own Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Go to foxsportsradio.com. The contest is called the Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Enter official rules. Go to the website. January 24th is the deadline. Mercedes-Benz vans.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Super 6 has given away over $3.5 million. Download the free Fox Super 6 app and make your picks for your shot to win. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of 6 NFL games. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Bucks Falcons is featured in Sunday's contest. Call and give us your winner and final score.
Bucks by a touchdown, 34-27. It's weird, though. They were so dominant over Atlanta in the second half of their game. Now you've got to convince the Tampa players, they've already made the playoffs, that you got to play great and you're going to be threatened. That's where the NFL and college are so different. That, like, if you're better in college, you win the game. Clemson could play Boston College 10 times. But in the NFL, Tampa Bay is better than Atlanta, but you just thrashed them for an hour and a half in the second half, and you got to convince those players this is a real threat, and you marched up and down the field. And then now Atlanta players are playing. They want that game on tape, so they don't want to be humiliated again, and they kind of know Tampa's offense, so Tampa's better. But this is why the NFL is crazy. You could see Atlanta shocking them. It's just very hard when you have a competent quarterback, Matt Ryan, to beat Matt Ryan twice in 3 weeks. And Atlanta's offense is...
Raheem Morris wants that job. Yeah, there's a lot,
they're playing for,
a lot of factors there.
They're playing for jobs. So that's the difference. Bucky Brooks played in the NFL, drafted second round, also a great scout. Now at the NFL Network and Fox, he's joining us live. Let me ask you, this is crazy. So this is what, I imagine at one point, you probably wanted to be an NFL GM, or if somebody offered it to you, it's a pretty good job, right? You scouted and stuff. So Miami, I'm going to throw a theory at you, just throw it out there. Miami, Brian Flores is really good.
They'll never have the number three pick again, likely if he's the head coach. And we see the ease in which Herbert and Burrow have been asked to carry bad teams, and often have. Whereas Miami's got a great coach, excellent special teams, a playoff-winning defense. We don't know what they are at quarterback. If Tua comes out against Buffalo and looks, Greg Cosell told us earlier, kind of simple packages, doesn't go over the top, doesn't look special, is it the craziest thing in the world that Brian Flores goes, I'm going to roll the dice on one of these college guys. Fitzpatrick's not around long. I mean, you tell me, if Tua is just flat, do you have to think about that in the offseason?
Well, I mean, I think you have to think about it anyway. When you're right now, they have the number three overall pick. I think you have to always think about, how can I best position my team to win a championship? And so, look, we haven't seen teams go back-to-back in the top five since Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh when the Cowboys did in 89 and 90. It's uncommon to do that, but I think what you want to do, this is a golden ticket for the Miami Dolphins. They have an opportunity to get a star and add a star to a team that is already potentially a playoff team. And so I think you have to examine it. I will say this, though, because I do believe we're being a little harsh in our criticism and critiques on Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa has 10 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. It's the second best rookie touchdown to interception ratio since Dak Prescott. He is one of only 4 quarterbacks with a 750 win percentage and an interception percentage under 2. Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson are the only other quarterbacks that have done that. So before we beat him up, at the end of the day, the quarterback's job is to win games.
Yeah.
And he has won the games that he's been in. And I know there's a fascination with Ryan Fitzpatrick and what he's done, but Tua has outperformed Ryan Fitzpatrick in the most important category, and that is not turning the ball over. That's why the Miami Dolphins have been able to win with him, even though you got to consider other quarterbacks.
Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes is going to take week 17 off, and it's interesting. The last 4 quarterbacks to take week 17 off and have a bye and have that 20 days off, 3 of 4 have lost. Big Ben against the Jags, Lamar MVP, and the 15-1 Aaron Rodgers team. The one quarterback that won, Drew Brees, threw a pick, his first throw of the game, so he was rusty in the first quarter. You know, Mahomes did not play great against Atlanta. He was off, now 20 days. I'm not sure. I mean, I think quarterbacking to some degree, Bucky, is rhythm. Doesn't that seem like a little bit of a risk not playing him?
It does seem like a long time, but I will say this. I think if you're Andy Reid, and Andy Reid has a track record of being extremely successful off of bye weeks, I think you would rather have all of your weapons available to you in the postseason rather than run the risk of losing Patrick Mahomes on a freak injury. And so I think you'll deal with a little bit of the rust, knowing that your offense is so explosive that when they do figure it out, we have seen them run off 28, 30 straight points without giving up points. So I think it's all about trying to find a way to make sure that Pat Mahomes feels great, that all of the weapons on the outside are healthy and ready to go. So when you do hit the ground running, you hit it going full speed. And the Kansas City Chiefs, when they are at their best, it is hard to deal with them when that offense is rolling. I think Andy Reid wants to make sure that the offense is flowing when they get back into the tournament.
Most of the teams that hand big contracts to good quarterbacks, Rams, Goff, Stafford, Detroit, Jimmy G, Niners, Kirk Cousins, Minnesota. I think most of those teams today don't love those quarterbacks. They don't love those contracts. And, you know, I want to talk about Trubisky. Trubisky wins games. Bucky, he wins 68% of his games. And you're going to have to make a decision here. You know, he and Matt Nagy, this will be the second time in 3 years if they win Sunday. They're in the playoffs. What do you do? What do you do with a Trubisky? It feels like it's that NFL Kirk Cousins quicksand. Like, what do you do?
I think the toughest thing to do is to separate winning from the performance of the quarterback and what the quarterback is actually doing. And I know we talked about winning being important with Tua Tagovailoa. The thing with Mitchell Trubisky is now what you potentially run the risk of is hamstringing your franchise by giving him a contract that isn't commensurate with his level of play and performance. We saw this happen in Jacksonville, and when that happened with Blake Bortles,
yeah,
it upset the apple cart in the locker room. Because it's not only that Mitchell Trubisky is occupying that amount of salary cap space, it's the fact that Khalil Mack and others are sitting in the locker room and looking at a guy who may be making $30 to $35 million, and they know he's not that kind of player. And so I think the Bears need to evaluate Mitch Trubisky for as he is, and they need to also not bid against themselves. Because if Mitch Trubisky hits the open market, who is going to pay him big money? I would say no one. And so they need to make sure that they give him a contract, if it is a multiple-year contract, that is at the value of what he is and not at market value. This needs to be a team-friendly deal, because I don't think he really has many options on the open market.
But let me make the argument that Dalton, if he wins Sunday in the last seven games, is 5-2. He's not as good as Dak, but the gap, I don't believe, is as gigantic as people say. On the open market, are there multiple bidders for Dak, do you think? Because the Cowboys are going to have to pay him 36 large.
Yeah, but I think Dak is a much better player. And I think if you look at Dak with the Cowboys in that offense was a top five offense with Dak Prescott. They have not been a top five offense with Andy Dalton. And now they've beaten up on some cupcakes of late, and Andy Dalton has shown flashes, but he's not nearly the player of Dak Prescott, because some of the things that they would do early in the season when it wasn't right, they haven't been able to do it when it's been right, with the defense playing well and the offensive line coming together. Andy Dalton is a solid pro, but Andy Dalton isn't what I would call a top five, top seven quarterback, which is where you need to consider Dak Prescott.
Okay, I'm going to throw this story at you. So Mike Tannenbaum used to be a general manager in the league. He said Carson Wentz should consider paying the Eagles $20 million to facilitate a trade. Now, let me explain it to the audience. Right now, they're on the hook for like $33.5 million in Philadelphia for Carson Wentz. But if he wrote a check for $20 million before the end of the 2020 league year, the Eagles get credit for that. They'd only be a $13 million cap hit. He becomes very tradable. The Colts could make him whole and give him $20 million as a signing bonus, and it would be fine. And I thought about this morning. There are times it's worth paying to get out of a business, relationships, momentum of the business. And I do feel like the minute they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round and then they benched Wentz, it's one of those things you can forgive but not forget. And I think it does kind of, there's an irreparable damage perhaps to Wentz and Philly, an unforgiving town. Just tell me your thoughts about, if you were Carson Wentz's agent, you just, hey, here's $20 million, I'm going to the Colts. I don't think it's nuts. Your thoughts?
No, I don't think it's necessarily nuts, but I think before Carson Wentz can come to that, I think he has to have an honest conversation with himself in terms of how he performed. He didn't really perform well. Jalen Hurts has stepped in with the same pieces, and the offense has looked different. Now, he may have too many voices in his ear, and they may have failed him when it comes to coaching and surrounding him with the right things, but Carson Wentz hasn't performed well. And so if he does believe that going to Indianapolis will reunite him with Frank Wright and bring out the best in him, then yes, you can do it. But I do believe before Carson Wentz can become the player that we saw in 2017, he has to be very, very honest with himself and figure out what is wrong, how he can get better, and would it be better to try and improve my game under the tutelage of Frank Wright, who was that offensive coordinator when he played at his best.
Finally, I've never seen a college quarterback prospect as inaccurate as Josh Allen and as inaccurate as a rookie and inaccurate as second year. In his third year, he's literally an MVP level player. You're a former scout. Are you at least a little shocked this massive jump in accuracy in the last 20 games?
I am absolutely shocked by his progression, but I think what it has done, Colin, I think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have changed the way that scouts have to look at quarterbacks. Instead of nitpicking and talking about what quarterbacks can't do, we really need to hone in on their strengths and really imagine what they can do. What the Buffalo Bills have been able to do is to take Josh Allen and to imagine what he could be at his ceiling and put all the pieces around him to enable him to reach that ceiling. Brian Daboll being a creative offensive play caller, surrounding him with talent on the perimeter and Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. And then we have to give a lot of credit to Josh Allen. Josh Allen has done the work. And at a time where we're talking about quarterbacks and do you like it or do you love it, Josh Allen has shown to the football world he loves it by the way that he has worked on his game. Hats off to him. Standing ovation for him for being what many of us couldn't see. He has been terrific, and the Buffalo Bills have look, they deserve credit for sticking with him and really putting him in a situation where he can succeed.
Yeah, I've just never seen anything like it. He was completely, utterly inaccurate 20 games ago. Like 56% inaccurate, and now he's just throwing dimes everywhere. Stephon Diggs doesn't hurt, by the way. Bucky Brooks, happy holidays. Happy New Year to you, Bucky, you and the fam.
Hey, thanks so much, man.
Go the extra mile, your own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Go to foxsportsradio.com. They've got the super ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. January 24th, last day you can apply for it. Mercedes-Benz vans. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the ghost debate between Michael Jordan and LeBron could get closer as LeBron finishes out his career. Shaq explains what he thinks the gap is between the two right now and how LeBron could catch up to Jordan.
I know LeBron, and I know he thinks about what people think. He already passed up Kobe and Jordan in points. Now once he gets 5 championships, now he'd be closer to the GOAT. But as he gets 5, he's going to be creeping on Kareem, too. I think he's looking to pass Kareem to get the 39,000, and then that'll automatically put him at the best player. And then if he ties Mike, I think people will probably lean a little bit more towards LeBron being the best player in the world.
That's what happened with Brady, is that Montana was 4 for 4, perfect.
Right.
When Brady hit 5, you could no longer argue it. So if LeBron gets 6, and you say, yeah, but he's also been to 9 more, he's not perfect.
Yeah, I think the perfect thing is if he can get to 5 and he passes Kareem, I'm with Shaq. It's going to be a much tougher argument. It's going to become a preference argument at that point. Now, I know some people already feel, our friend Nick Wright very adamantly feels that Michael's already been passed as the greatest of all time. But LeBron is 3rd on the all-time scoring list, 34,358 points. Kareem is 1st, 38,387 points. He's averaging, LeBron, 2,014 points a year. So, if we can put all that math together, if he continues to play, at least at the level he's playing now, for, say, 2 more years, he will pass Kareem on the all-time scoring list.
Yeah, well, statistically, he blows by Michael and everything.
Right, but that is a milestone.
Right.
Like, that's a jewel in the crown that is very tough to argue with, because he's already passed Michael in the all-time scoring list. But to pass Kareem, who is considered the greatest scorer of all time, and he has the record, that is a big deal. On top of winning with 3 different organizations, possibly winning another one this year, the overwhelming favorites.
I think the one thing that the Michael Jordan people struggle with, Michael could never win at a second place. LeBron's now won in 3 places, including Cleveland, which is not an ideal place. Now, you could say, well, he went to L.A., the Lakers. The Lakers were horrible when he got there.
So, yes, the Lakers, it's not like he walked into
it.
Doug mentioned it earlier. The first year of LeBron's career with the Lakers was pretty much a disaster. Not on LeBron, but it was. We think of the Lakers as a very well-run organization, but they weren't.
They had ownership issues, front office issues, roster issues, and also when he went to Cleveland. People forget this. Kyrie was deemed kind of a bust. He didn't get along with teammates. He wasn't a winning player. He got hurt at Duke. He'd been hurt in Cleveland. He couldn't stay healthy. You know, people look at Kyrie now, but pre-LeBron, a lot of people, I remember I was doing a radio show at another network and talking to somebody there, and I'm like, he's a bust. Nobody likes him. He's never healthy. He never plays.
And what is Cleveland since?
A disaster. So it's like, that's the one thing. LeBron's a better teammate that works more effortlessly with more people, with more coaches. LeBron's worked with every coach. Michael worked a little with Doug Collins and a lot with Phil.
It's also a nostalgia thing.
Oh, that's
Michael.
Huge. People just love...
Like, I love Michael, so it's going to be difficult. I will admit it if it becomes too obvious, because I'm not a crazy person. Well, I am a crazy person, but I can't be out here sounding ridiculous and unsound, but it's going to be a hard nostalgia thing to let go if he does do
that. We let go of Joe Montana really quick. He didn't have shoe commercials.
We did, but also that Atlanta's that Super Bowl win over Atlanta was so spectacular, that comeback, that it was also like, it was just an immediate transition. We're all like, okay, we can admit this now. So Oklahoma dominated Florida 55-20.
Watched
it,
yeah.
Cotton Bowl. Spencer Rattler threw for 247 yards and 4 total touchdowns.
Dominated the SEC defense.
The Sooners also had 435 rushing yards.
Crushed
Heisman
them.
Hopeful Kyle Trask struggled for the Gators. He threw a season-low 158 yards and a season-high 3 interceptions.
By the way, everybody in the SEC loves to brag about their defense. Oklahoma did whatever they wanted to. And it was, oh, they were missing a lot of receivers, Florida. But these SEC defenses, they're not what they used to be. This year, South Carolina's was garbage. Florida's is right now. I mean, that game was a complete 8-minute in mismatch.
It was also his first game without a touchdown pass this year.
Kyle Trask is not athletic. He is literally Philip Rivers. Like, he is that unathletic. So, like, he's just a big arm guy. And, I mean, somebody will draft him. But of all the prospects, he looks least like a 2020 quarterback.
To me, that game was all about Spencer. I'm big on Spencer Rattler. I think he is going to be a star.
Yeah.
And that was a game that...
He looked great.
Did not make me look like a liar.
He looked great.
I know you guys were all in my mentions earlier in the year telling me how terrible he was getting mentioned in that game. Well, I didn't notice anyone yesterday. It must have been that outage that happened in Pittsburgh.
Well, he's only like 19 years old.
He has years to go.
Yeah, he's like a kid.
Years to go. Finally, I watched this probably 40 times. It's such an amazing video. So if you haven't seen this, Wisconsin beat Wake Forest 42-28 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. The team was celebrating their locker room, as they should be, but things took a turn very quickly. Let's see the video. It's so amazing. I'm sorry for everyone on radio, but Graham Mertz, the quarterback, dropped the trophy.
Crystal, and
yes,
it broke.
And it broke immediately. And you can hear the whole locker room just kind of freeze for a second. It's so good. He made up for it, though, somewhat. He found a bottle of Duke's Mayo, and he taped it to the top of the trophy. It's so good. It is. I mean, the kids' reaction is perfect. That's how everyone reacts when you break something that you know you cannot replace.
Don't throw a ball in the house.
Oh, my God. It's so good. But congrats to Wisconsin.
Badgers win a lot of bowl games. That's a really good athletic program. Wisconsin wins a lot of big games and a lot of bowl games. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Our 2020 last day of the year, kind of our best athletes of the year. They had the best years of 2020. That's coming up next. Go the extra mile, foxsportsradio.com, and your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz van. January 24th is the deadline. You can win the van. It's got TVs. It's got swivel chairs. It's got two wood pellet grills. It's got an awning. It's got a light music show. It's amazing. Mercedes-Benz vans.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good to have you in. Today is New Year's Eve. Colin Cowherd, Joy Taylor. Yeah.
We made it.
I thought I'd say these are not necessarily the 10 best athletes, but I thought they were the athletes that had the best year.
Okay.
They overcame things, it heightened their talent. They had the best year in sports. So let's go number 10.
Number 10.
I would say Joe Burrow. So first of all, he's the first quarterback since Cam Newton to win a national championship, win the Heisman, and then get drafted number one. And then he goes to the NFL and had 5 300-yard passing games before he tore his ACL MCL. He was going to break Andrew Luck's record. So it's kind of a storybook season. And he had a really interesting journey, like Cam. Cam went to a junior college, went to Florida, transferred to Auburn. Burrow went to Ohio State, transferred, sat for a while. It's a really good year for Joe Burrow, number 10.
Number 9.
I would say Josh Allen. The leap, he had 8 games with 300-plus passing yards this year. He didn't have a single game passing for 300 yards in his first 2 years in the league. It's a city that loves its football. I cannot really compare him to anybody else but maybe Troy Aikman, where you're watching the first year and nothing works. You're watching the end of the second year and you're like, wow. But the third year, you're like, is he the best or second best quarterback in the NFL? Josh Allen, number 9.
Number 8.
How about Dustin Johnson? First of all, he won the Masters. He was 20 under par. That was a Masters record. He's named the PGA Tour Player of the Year. And there's a lot of really good young sticks in golf. He's now the best player in the world. Number one player in the official world golf rankings. Number one on the PGA money list last year at $3 million. So I think for him, right now in a crowded field of tremendously gifted young golfers, you the man.
Number seven.
How about Michael Jordan? Wasn't bad for his shoe sales, I'll tell you that. The Last Dance documentary, it won an Emmy for Outstanding Documentary, and it was great. Very pro-Michael, but that's okay. It was the most viewed ESPN documentary ever. It averaged about 6 million people. And to be honest with you, it spiked his shoe sales. Just about when we're ready to anoint LeBron James the greatest this and that, Michael calculatedly moves in with The Last Dance, which saved Joy and I's took us, gave us 8-10 weeks of great rants and thoughts, and it was a marvelous documentary that it really made me love Michael all over again.
Number six.
How about Anthony Davis? He was brittle. He wasn't a leader. He goes into the finals, and he's only the eighth player in basketball history to win an NCAA championship, an Olympic gold, and an NBA title. He and LeBron from day one. They even work better than Wade and LeBron. They just work day one. Their games fit perfectly. Their personalities do. And he was a dominating playoff performer. 28 a game, 10 rebounds, good passing, 3.5 assists, 1.5 blocks. And it really was. There were many nights you felt like it was Anthony's team. He was an unstoppable force and a more consistently great defensive player than LeBron, Anthony Davis at six.
Number five.
How about the resurrection of Jimmy Butler? Head case, diva, hard to get along with. He's only the second player to go to the finals, lead his team in everything. Points, assists, blocks, steals, rebounds. The only other guy to do that, it's like 4 years ago, was LeBron James. One of the great finals ever. He just got exhausted.
Yeah.
But by the end of the finals, he was just tired of taking all those kids in the backseat of the van. It's like, kids, get out of here. I can't. I'm exhausted. But he reached the NBA finals in his first season with the Heat. It was a really risky move where he left a much more talented Philadelphia team. He had a bad reputation. I had said, little difficult, not sure if I'd have made the move if I'm Miami. He became a leader, totally resurrected his entire brand. He is a go-to force in the league.
Number four.
Tom Brady won the divorce, and that matters. That has been a 15-year-old question. Is it Brady or is it Belichick? Well, the Patriots stink and can't move the ball, and Brady's going to the playoffs again. He also signed a 2-year, $50 million contract, so it's not bad there. And as he said a couple of weeks ago, I'm never going back up to the Northeast. He loves the jet skis and the water and the temperature. Listen, old people move to Florida. It's easier on the bones. And it took him a while, and it's been a bumpy ride, but he is having a remarkable, not a Matt Ryan year like we predicted, more like an Aaron Rodgers year with Tampa Bay.
Number three.
Hear, hear for Mookie Betts. The first or second best baseball player. He won with the Red Sox. They could no longer afford him, so they made a big trade to the Dodgers. He was exactly the juice and the energy a very good franchise needed that could not get over the hump. He was unbelievable in the Atlanta series. He won that. He was good with a glove. He had power. He hit for average. And oh, by the way, he signed a 12-year, $560 million contract, so he'll be driving a nice car to Dodger Stadium. He really is an old-school baseball player. He's an athlete that could have played multiple sports, and he won games everywhere, on the bases, at the plate, in the field. He and Mike Trout feel like they're just a different level than everybody else in the sport.
Number two.
Patrick Mahomes had a pretty good year, not going to lie. First Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs since 1970, Super Bowl MVP. As a college player, didn't know much about him. And he came from behind. I thought this was great. He came from behind in every playoff game by at least 10 points. He had struggled in the Super Bowl. Then he made that huge throw. And it was also good because the love between him and Andy Reid, one of the most respected guys. Andy Reid for years had been a great coach, couldn't get over the top. And it looks like the kind of relationship. I mean, you can really see it. It's like a Staubach Landry. Like, you just know they like each other. They respect each other. They fit with each other. The thing could last for 12 years.
Number one.
All right, LeBron. Fourth title. Fourth finals MVP. MVP. Only MJ's got more. Let's be honest about it. He moved to Los Angeles. They were a wreck. The ownership, the brother and the sister didn't get along, the Magic situation, Rob Pelinka, the tragedy of Kobe, David Stern passed away, a pandemic, they played in a bubble, and it unraveled every single veteran team in the bubble. Milwaukee's an old team struggled, Toronto wasn't right, Boston wasn't right, the Clippers unraveled. The one veteran team, because the bubble was great for kids. They didn't have families at home. They love the bubble. It's like the AAU. The one veteran team that literally got better was LeBron James, and he made kind of a quirky, weird, old roster with a lot of disparate parts. JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, Rondo. That's not going to work, is it? By the end of the year, they were easily the best team in the NBA. Even the shirtless J.R. Smith. It just all felt right for LeBron James. Our 10 athletes, not necessarily the 10 best athletes, the 10 athletes who had the best year. You know what I loved about Mookie Betts? Is that when I was a kid, the best athletes often played football or baseball or basketball. And then there's been this long 20-year thing where a lot of kids don't play baseball. The best athletes, it looks like they play basketball and football. Mookie Betts like brought like just juice. He reminded me of like a 1975 baseball player. He'd get on the base, Joe Morgan. He could run, he could glove it, he could hit it, he could hit for power.
He's great. He's athletic. He has personality. They encourage his personality.
Yes.
And accept it.
Baseball, for the record, did a much better job this year.
Yes.
Even their marketing was loosen up, let the kids play. So LeBron, Mahomes, Mookie, Brady, Butler, Anthony, Michael, Dustin, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow.
2020 had its moments for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It is.
And really, even the Dodgers winning after 50 years.
I thought it was great. I was talking about this the other day because it always takes me a while to get into the NBA season. I watched about 45 minutes with a buddy last night of the Clippers game. It's hard for me in December, January to get into the NBA. But I was talking to a friend. I'm just like, I'm really interested in the Dodgers. Like it's in my lifetime, I'm not sure there's ever been a batting order that good. Like everybody can hit. It's like all 280, 300, 310 hitters. It's like they're about one more pitcher away. They're a closer away from being one of the best teams maybe of all time. The Dodgers are a closer away. They're really a fun. I'm in Los Angeles, so they're on TV. They're genuinely a 70s baseball team. It's like fun to watch. Everybody can jack it. You know, it's just everybody power, everybody average, big personalities, young, fun.
LA life. Had a great year.
Oh, my God. Well, if we'd have been the 10 best cities, it would have been LA 10 through 1. For Joy and everybody here today, happy New Year's Eve. Please be safe tonight. Be
yes.
smart. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.